Carnation Evaporated Milk presents Mr. Ronald Reagan on Stars Over Hollywood.
Someday I'll propose a toast, and I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, in accepting this award for literature, I want to accept it for the person who deserves all the credit. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Maggie.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood presents the world's best-known stars, actors you've seen in motion pictures and heard on radio, such famous names as Ida Lupino, John Payne, Angela Lansbury. Today, Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, brings you transcribed a star who may currently be seen in the Universal International production, Law and Order. Ronald Reagan. The story, I Give You Maggie. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember Carnation. No other form of milk comes in so handy, so many times, so many ways.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
The most treasured possession the Carnation Company has is your confidence in its product. Millions of you homemakers associate the word Carnation with the word quality. It isn't easy to earn that wide respect, and it doesn't happen overnight. Three generations of women have known Carnation well because they've used it well for cooking, for coffee, for baby feeding. Doubtless there are many mothers listening now who were themselves raised on Carnation. Absolute uniformity, unvarying high quality, have given Carnation evaporated milk its enviable reputation. The superiority of the product inside the can is made known to all by the label on the outside. The familiar red and white carnations. That's what that trademark means. Superior milk. That's what Carnation is. And that's why it is the world's leading brand of evaporated milk. And now, Act One of I Give You Maggie, starring Ronald Reagan in the role of Tom Paget. Curtain going up.
Maggie, sit down. You're pacing a groove right across the living room.
Is my mouth on straight, Nona?
Oh, you look adorable. Relax. Oh.
It's 8:10, Maggie. Does Tom always keep you waiting like this?
Oh, let her alone, Mama. Stop picking on her.
Nona, you be quiet. That's no way to talk to your mother.
It's no way to talk to your mother, Nona. Maggie, what your mother and I can't understand is why you haven't had them up to the house before. After all, you've known her for how long? 3 months? 4 months?
Well,
I don't like for you to be going out with a young man we've never seen, don't know anything about.
He was supposed to have come here several times, but...
Maggie, is he serious?
You'll see, Mama.
What do you mean, I'll see? Maggie...
There he is!
I don't like it. Young girl ought to bring her boyfriends around so her parents...
Tom? Shh, Harry. Tom, my father and mother.
Mrs. Banner... Mr. Banner?
And my sister, Nona.
Nona?
Harry?
Sit down, Tom. Sit down. Would you like a drink?
We have to go.
Oh, we can sit down a minute, can't he? Go ahead. Sit down, Tom. There now. Maggie tells us you've knocked around a lot.
Some.
That's very interesting. What, have you done, Tom?
Nothing much.
You have, too. He's been all over and done everything.
That's fine. Go ahead. We'd like to hear.
Well, I ran away from an orphanage when I was 14. I was a road kid for 3 years.
Road kid?
Young hobo. Rode the rods and boxcars all over this country and Canada. Slept under bridges, begged from door to door. I've been jailed as a bum 20 or 30 times.
What else?
Oh, not much of anything.
He was aroused about with a circus and a cowhand in Wyoming till he broke a leg bulldazing.
Dozing, not dazing.
And then he was a pearl diver in a beanery, that means dishwasher, and a lumberjack and a miner, and he did a hitch for the Marines, and all like that.
What are you doing now?
Just sitting here.
No, I mean...
Oh, well, I read a lot. That's how I met Maggie at the library. I guess she's told you that. I'm trying to learn how to write. I think I'm going to be a writer.
I suppose you've put aside a lot of money to keep you going until you begin to sell your stories?
Mrs. Banner, I have a personal fortune of exactly $4.
It's not very much, is it?
No. In fact, after I take Maggie out for a walk tonight and buy her a soda, I'll have just about enough left for a marriage license in the morning.
What?
Maggie!
It's all right with you, though, isn't it, Maggie? I haven't made a mistake, have I?
No, Tom, no. You haven't made a mistake.
But what are you going to live on?
That will be a problem.
I make 35 a week.
Well, there now. We can easily manage on that, Mrs. Banner.
You're going to let her support you.
Hold it, Bertha. Maggie, look, you're dead set on this?
Dead set, Papa.
Harry, you...
Bertha, I look you two. You hardly know each other. No matter how much you think you love each other, you can't live on love. So I offer this. Tom, if you'll come round to my office, I'll speak to the chief, and I'm sure we can slide you into one of the departments. Then, after a while, when you've saved a little money...
It's a kind offer, Mr. Banner, but it'd be a waste of time.
Waste of time to make a living for a wife?
It's a waste of time for a writer to do anything but write. If you object to Maggie's working, why not give us some money?
Give you...
Call it a business investment, Papa.
No. Maggie, you're not going to marry this...
We are going to be married, Mr. Banner. Start all your thinking from that premise. It'll save time and aggravation, I'm sure.
Maggie?
No, Papa, no. We're going to be married.
Going against us, Maggie?
Not against you, Papa. But in a different direction.
Maggie, if you marry this tramp, you can get out of this house tonight and stay out.
Papa?
No, I mean it.
Give me your hand, Tom. I'm all shaky.
Here, kid. Squeeze it. Squeeze hard. Ready, Maggie?
Ready, Tom.
Maggie?
Yes?
I'm finished for the day. Supper ready?
Ready. It's been on the table for 3 hours.
Where are you, kid? In the closet?
No, here.
How you managed to disappear in a one-room apartment is something I... Oh, I'm sorry about supper, honey. You didn't wait for me, did you?
Of course I waited for you.
Oh, you should have eaten. What are the cake and candles for? Is it my birthday?
No, it's not your birthday. Oh, Tom, you've forgotten.
Forgotten? Oh, no. I didn't forget.
You did, too. Our first anniversary, and you've forgotten.
I didn't forget, baby, honest. I have a present for you in my pocket. Wait a second. Here, take it.
What is it?
A poem. Can you read my writing?
Oh. For Maggie on our first wedding anniversary.
Go ahead, read it.
If I could write the beauty of your eyes and in fresh numbers number all your graces, the age to come would say, this poet lies. Such heavenly touches ne'er touched earthly faces.
Like it?
Tom, it's beautiful. It's better than Shakespeare.
It is Shakespeare. I didn't have time to compose one, so I copied it. Says what I mean, anyway.
Oh, Tom, it's the nicest present.
Give me a kiss. You're a kissable wench, Maggie. I think I'll renew my option on you for another year.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Me too. I turned out about 10 pages today, and the character I told you about last night, Jonesy, he's beginning to come alive.
Each week it gets better and better, and... Do you realize we'll be on our vacation this time next week? Our first vacation together. 1 week of it. 1 week of no subway and no office and no ironing and no dishes and...
Maggie, I meant to tell you...
We simply toss our $40 into the hotel owner's lap, and in return he gives us 7 days of paradise.
There is no $40 anymore.
7 days! What?
We don't have $40. Only 12.
Well, I don't understand.
After you left for the office this morning, I broke the typewriter. The man at the shop said it would cost $18 to fix and would take 10 days. I rented the typewriter I'm using for $1 a day. 18 plus 10 equals 28. 28 from 40 leaves no vacation.
No vacation?
No.
Oh. Couldn't you use the... The pencil.
Maggie, don't. Oh, don't, honey. Please, Maggie, listen. Mm. Someday, maybe pretty soon, I'll finish the book and sell it for a barrel of money. And then we'll head for the beach at Acapulco or even Rio, and we'll stay not 7 days, but 7 months, or as long as you like. And when we come back... Oh, don't cry, my Maggie. Shh. You blow. I know you've looked forward to this vacation, and I know how it is. Maggie, someday I'll propose a toast, and I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen of the Pulitzer Prize Committee, members of the press, friends, in accepting the award for literature, I do not accept it for myself, but for the person who really deserves all the credit accruing to my book. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Maggie.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, I Give You Maggie, starring Ronald Reagan, and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, let's meet our well-known authority on foods and cooking to hear about a brand new pie discovery that's on the tip of everyone's tongue. Here's Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake, to tell us all about it.
It's really very exciting, Art. Frosty fruit pie. And it's the newest pie discovery of a good friend of ours, Betty Crocker of General Mills. It makes 9 different refrigerator pies from one basic recipe, and they're all cool, all delicious, just wonderful for this summer season.
9 different pies from one recipe? That's quite an accomplishment.
Yes, but it's easy as pie, good pie, with Betty Crocker's recipe. You get the pick of the orchard with your choice of fruit flavors. You just choose your flavor, make your pie in the cool of the morning, then pop it into the refrigerator and serve it later. Easy? I'll say. Use gold medal flour and carnation evaporated milk with Betty Crocker's simple basic recipe for a delicious combination of tender, flaky crust and cool, fluffy filling.
Mary, your description of this frosty fruit pie is putting me in one of my gotta-have-some-pie moods.
Well, it works that way with everybody, Art. Betty Crocker had scores of homemakers bake up this frosty fruit pie, and they voted it one of the best Betty Crocker pie recipes of all time. And by the way, of all the 9 flavors, those homemakers like the frosty fruit pie made with crushed pineapple best.
Sounds great. But then, so do they all. Where can our listeners get the recipe?
Well, it couldn't be easier to find, Art. Right now, it's appearing in many of the leading magazines. And besides that, you'll find it in sacks of gold medal, kitchen-tested, enriched flour. That's America's number one all-purpose flour for that oven-fresh, tender crust. And for that high and fluffy, double delicious filling, use Double Rich Carnation, America's number one evaporated milk.
Remember, you get 9 different refrigerator pies from one basic recipe. Betty Crocker's newest pie discovery made with carnation and gold medal flour. Wonderful frosty fruit pie. We return now to the second act of I Give You Maggie, starring Ronald Reagan in the role of Tom Paget. To say that Tom's efforts as a budding literary genius are meeting with rugged resistance would be a masterpiece of understatement. Still, he and Maggie are in love, and there are times when things seem to be going better.
Maggie? Maggie, where are you?
I'm here.
Guess what?
What? What is it?
Can anybody hear us?
No, what is it? Now, don't tease me.
I was walking down the block just now.
Yes?
And all of a sudden, down at my feet, I saw...
What? What?
This.
A dollar bill. You found it. That's wonderful.
But you were beginning to think I'd never be a breadwinner. Well, Mrs. Paget, instead of walking around the park this afternoon, as we do every Sunday, we're going to observe the rites of spring.
With a dollar?
I'm afraid you lack creative vision. When I look at this dollar, do you know what I see?
George Washington's picture?
I see 2 round trips to Coney Island, 20 cents. 2 Bock beers, 20 cents. 2 hot dogs, with or without mustard, 20 cents. And 2 rides on the merry-go-round, 20 cents.
That's only 80 cents. What about the other 20?
Philanthropy. The other 20 cents goes back to the sidewalk for the appeasement of tastes far less luxurious than ours. Madam, let us away.
Doctor, I'd like to know the truth.
Mrs. Paget, I'll give it to you straight from the shoulder if you think you can take it.
I can take it.
Tuberculosis. Now, wait. We've caught it in time, I think. I'll know definitely after studying the x-rays, but I think we've caught it in time. Mrs. Paget, your husband will have to go away for a while.
How long?
2 or 3 years, maybe longer.
May I go in to see him, Doctor?
He's sleeping.
I just want to look at him.
Don't let him talk too much if he wakes up.
Ain't you, kid?
Shh, you're not to talk.
Did Doc tell you? We've been hit a low blow.
I know.
He wants me to go to Arizona, Tucson. Listen, babe, get a divorce.
Tom.
I mean it. I'm being objective, not noble. We've had the top of the bottle. Don't tie yourself to me.
Stop this nonsense, Tom. Stop it at once.
Now, listen. Don't let sentimentality trip you up. That's where most people go wrong. You have to be hard and a little ruthless. If I'd let sentimentality get in my way, I'd have taken a job instead of writing.
I'm not listening.
You must listen. Maggie, I know you're thinking I'll be alone in a sanitarium or something, but, kid, I've been alone most of my life. I'm used to it. I never expected anything else. The time we've had together, that's so much gravy for me. I never...
Oh, it's been gravy for you, Ed. You're used to being alone, are you? What about me? Do you think I could live without you? I couldn't. I'd die.
Oh, Maggie. That was a very hammy renunciation scene.
Well, Maggie, it's the last time I'll be driving you to Tucson.
Oh, Spence. Shipping out?
Uh-huh. Very hush-hush operation. My squadron leaves tomorrow.
Europe? The Pacific?
Don't know yet.
Oh, Spence.
There's something I want to say to you. No, don't look at me. Look straight ahead.
Really?
Maggie, I've been wondering if you know I'm in love with you. Very much in love with you.
Don't, Spence.
Can't help it. I'm not the suffering silence type.
Spence, please.
I think I've been in love with you ever since I reported for duty here and first saw you in the colonel's office. Maggie, I'm going to make it short. I want you to get a divorce and marry me. We can be married by proxy no matter where they send me. I'll be back someday.
No, Spence.
Face facts. They're brutal, but they must be faced. Your husband is an invalid. He's been in a sanitarium how long? 2 years? 3? He may be there 10 more. And where does that leave you? You see him only twice a month.
No, Spence.
Sure?
Very sure.
Well, that's that, then. That's all the ammo in my clip. You know something? Sick as your husband is, and healthy as I am, if I could change place with him, I'd do it in a second. And I think I got the best of the bargain.
Oh, Spence, sugar.
Oh, what's the use of talking? Let's not talk for a while, huh?
Maggie Felice was wonderful. She admitted she'd been a literary agent for only a year and wasn't solidly established, but she thought the book I wrote back in the hospital was the best she's ever read by a modern writer. She's willing to devote herself to getting it published. Maggie, she's the sort of agent I've dreamed about.
What's she like?
Smart as a whip, lots of style. You know, Maggie, I feel tremendously set up about the whole thing. Oh, I almost forgot, I'm having dinner at her place. We're going to discuss some revisions she has in mind.
Oh, so?
Mind you, I don't agree to all of them, but she's right about 2 or 3 of them. Smart girl.
Where's her place?
Westchester. Pick out a tie for me. Lay out some clothes, huh, babe?
Oh, well, I'll wait up for you. I want to hear all about it.
Better not. I may be very late. You know how I can talk when I have a new audience. I'm going to shower and shave. Do we have any money?
I have a $5 bill.
Put it in my trousers. Will I take her candy?
That might be nice.
She calls. Tell her I'll be on time, not to fret.
I will.
Maggie, you look awful.
I do.
Awful. You used to be such a pretty girl, too. You ought to be spanked for letting yourself run to seed like this.
No, I haven't run to seed.
Well, I don't mean you're hobbling around in slippers and an old wrapper with your hair in a bun, but, well, you ought to look more chic. Look at the lines in your face. How old are you now? 31? You know how old you look?
How old?
31. That's disgraceful. You ought to look at least 5 years younger than 31. At 41, you...
All right, you've made your point.
Where's Tom this evening?
With Felice, I think.
He's seeing a lot of her, isn't he? Aren't I the cat?
Well, why shouldn't he? She's his agent. They have to confer a good deal.
Of course. Any news on the book?
No, not yet. But Felice keeps trying.
I'll bet she does at that. Mr. Nolan says for you to go right in, Mrs. Paget.
Thank you.
Maggie. Maggie.
Hello, Sven.
Maggie, why didn't you write?
Oh, well, I've kept in touch with you through the newspapers. Captain Nolan on this island, Major Nolan on that one. I kept in touch.
Did you really? Maggie, are you... Well, is Tom...
Completely cured.
I see. And you and he are still...
Still married.
And in love? And in love?
Oh, Spence, I'm miserable. I think Tom was out. He hasn't said anything, but... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't come to let my heart out. I've come to ask you for $2,500.
$2,500?
Felice can get Tom's book published if he can put up that amount, and he's worked so hard for so long, and it's a grand book, and it deserves
sands.
To be...
Shifting Sands.
What?
Shifting Sands. I've been aware of it ever since I got back into civilian life. Everyone changes. Nothing's the same as when you last saw it. $2,500, huh? All right. I'll give you $2,500. On one condition. That you divorce Tom and marry me.
Divorce?
Don't stop to think quick. What do you say?
Oh, no!
I knew it. Did I say everyone changes? Well, I take it back. Everyone except Maggie. Still the fighter, huh, Maggie?
Spence.
Want to know something? If you'd said yes, you'd come no closer to $2,500 of my dollars than any other stranger. But you're no stranger, are you? Still the Maggie I remembered. Wobbly on your feet, but still punching, huh?
Oh, Spence.
I'm the guy who's delighted to find one constant in a world of change. Maggie, I love you more than ever.
May I give you a kiss?
Well, it's the best offer I've had today.
You used to be such a pretty girl.
Felice is wonderful. Smart as a whip. Lots of style.
You used to be such a pretty girl. How old are you now? 31? You used to be such a pretty girl.
Having dinner with Felice. Don't wait up for me.
He's seeing a lot of her, isn't he? You used to be such a pretty girl.
You mustn't let sentimentality trip you up. That's where most people go wrong. You have to be hard.
You used to be such a pretty girl.
Maggie, come on out. Maggie?
A big party in my honor, and you're not even... What is it, babe? What's happened?
Oh, Tom. I'm not pretty anymore. I was standing in front of the mirror, and I found a gray hair. I'm not young and pretty anymore. I'm not, am I, Tom?
No, Maggie. You're not pretty anymore. Oh. Merely beautiful.
Oh, don't, Tom.
Your face is beginning to line. There's a line between your eyebrows that wasn't there when we first married. Here's one I saw from when my first book was rejected. Another was etched in while I was sick. Oh, there's several lines. To say nothing of your one gray hair. Maggie, you imbecile. I didn't marry you because you were pretty. There are thousands and thousands of pretty girls. You see them in the ads or galumping about in the movies. Chorus lines in colleges are filled with them. Felice is a pretty girl. But you're beautiful. All the loveliness I saw deep down inside you when we first met is pushing its way out. I say you're beautiful. Maybe I'm prejudiced. But I love you. Here now, blow. Now take my hand. Squeeze it. Squeeze hard, kid. Ready, Maggie?
Ready, Tom.
Okay. Now let's go out there and face them together.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Pulitzer Prize Committee, members of the press, friends, in accepting the award for literature, I do not accept it for myself, but for the person who really deserves all the credit accruing to my book. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Maggie.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of this week's Stars Over Hollywood show, as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Ronald Reagan. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meanwhile, how about a curtain call, Ronald Reagan?
That's fine with me, Art.
Good, because we want you to know that in the starring role of I Give You Maggie, you gave us an outstanding performance.
Well, thanks, and I'm glad Tom won the Pulitzer Prize and kept his wife. The kind of story I like.
Ronnie, here's something else I think you'll like. A cup of coffee creamed to perfection with wonderful Carnation evaporated milk.
Say, now that's a great idea.
It's an after-the-show custom of ours, Ronnie. Here, taste it, won't you?
Now that's what I call a good cup of coffee.
It is good, isn't it? Well, let me tell you why. That smoothness, that richness of flavor, sets it apart as an extra special beverage. Coffee creamed with Carnation. You see, Carnation evaporated milk is more than double rich. And that's just what it takes to make a good cup of coffee taste better than ever. Millions of coffee lovers know that. And that's why they prefer Carnation to cream.
I can certainly understand that.
And they like the saving, too. You know, Carnation costs less than half as much as cream. So it's easy to see how day-to-day use of Carnation in your coffee can really make a cut in your household budget. That's why we always say, for better coffee at lower cost, cream it with Carnation evaporated milk, the milk that whips. And now, Ronnie, for your excellent performance here today, we'd like you to have this bouquet for your charming wife. Red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Well, you've been a fine host, Art. Thanks very much, and goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Ronald Reagan. Next Saturday, Stars Over Hollywood will present Miss Angela Lansbury in a romantic play titled The Lady and the Beachcomber. And now, here's Miss Lansbury.
Now, you listen to me, Mr. Beachcomber. I don't intend to go home and marry some grocery clerk because I don't even know one. And as for you, well, I think you're wonderful.
Thank you, Angela Lansbury. We'll all be listening next week to hear you in this amusing play. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood presentation was written by Walter Newman. Supporting Mr. Reagan were Lorene Tuttle, Alan Reed, Noreen Gamil, John Stevenson, and Louise Arthur. The program was directed and transcribed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure you buy Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. No other form of milk comes in so handy, so many times, so many ways.
It's Carnation time when it's coffee time. It's Carnation time when you're cooking too. It's Carnation time at baby feeding time. The milk from contented cows for you. All around the clock, it's time for Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show, brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we are proud to present Miss Angela Lansbury in The Lady and the Beachcomber. Stay tuned now to hear Fun for All, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the CBS Radio Network.